New court docs. Oh, we have new court meme marinos. One of the lay spicy meme balls is half dropped. They skipped a deposition that was noticed, meaning it was registered with the court, basically. And then they needed to show the judge why they skipped it and didn't say anything about it. Was that this one right here? Who are they? Doe? Doe and her lawyers. Yeah. Just to catch you up on this ridiculous deposition situation, okay? So you can understand, like, the context for this, the setting for this. So imagine somebody asks you, hey, we should go out to eat. And you're like, okay, yeah. Or like, let's go out to eat. Or you know, do you want to go out to eat? And you say, yeah. And they go, okay. How does the 15th work? And you're like, yeah, I'm free on the 15th. Do you want me to pick you up or what? And they're like, I'm actually not free until the 25th. And you're like, okay, I'll meet you on the 25th then. And they're like, no, you agreed to the 15th. And it's like, well, okay, well, yeah, but I mean, I thought you were gonna be there. Doesn't matter. You agreed to the 15th. So, I'll be there the 25th. You'll be there the 15th. Like, well, no, we're not gonna go at two separate times. This is stupid. And they're like, nope, you already agreed with it. And I'm gonna go file with the court. You're gonna be there on the 15th. It's like, okay, well, I'm gonna tell the court you're gonna be there on the 13th then. Good luck. And they're like, I don't agree to that. It's like, okay, take it up with the court. If you're going to notice us on this date, we'll notice you 2 days earlier. Fuck it. Like, if you don't like it, then register something to the court. They're just, like, playing stupid games with the depositions. But, like, we didn't want to have to do two depositions, like, a month apart. It didn't make any sense to, like, have my lawyers fly out, like, at two separate, totally separate times. You want to schedule these, like, close to each other. But because they, like, played a word game, not even a word game. They were like, yeah, are you guys free on the 6th? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, well, we're not free all this month. It's like, okay, well, then we'll do next month. Nope, you already agreed to this. It's like, it's just stupid. It was just dumb. So this is like, everything is a fucking game with these people. Like, child's games. It's just the most retarded high school shit. It's just so goofy, okay? But, okay. So we noticed their deposition, I think, for the 3rd. They not only did they not show up for it, they didn't tell the court that they weren't going to show up for. They didn't contest it with the court. So in the eyes of the court, they just skipped their deposition for no reason. So then the court demanded an expedited response from plaintiffs saying, hey, you need to show a cause for why did you skip this and not say anything to the court? Like, you have to explain why you did this. Somebody said, is the norm that depositions occur on the same day? No, they don't have to occur on the same day. But generally for depositions, usually you're pretty flexible. You're trying to schedule things so that it works for all the parties. And my lawyers have to fly in from California to do their stuff. So, like, if they're going to fly in to be with me while I'm being deposed, then it'd be nice to do her deposition, like, a day before or a day after it so that they're here for the same thing instead of having to do two separate times. This shouldn't be a problem. Most people have no problem scheduling things like this. It should be pretty easy to do, okay? It's not a big deal, okay? It's not that hard, all right? So, okay, so anyway, they skipped it. So the judge issues them essentially a show cause saying you need to show a good cause for why you skipped this and didn't notice the court. Plaintiff Jade Doe, by and through her undersigned counsel, respectfully submits this response to defendant's motion for protective order and in support thereof states as follows. Defendant's motion for protective order rests on a false narrative that omits key facts demonstrating plaintiff's good faith and defendant's obstruction. In reality, plaintiff diligently sought to coordinate both depositions, offered multiple reasonable in-person dates, and properly noticed a defendant's deposition for November 6, 2025, a date defendant's counsel proposed and confirmed. So there's two huge things you'll notice for this. One, she's playing games. We had no problem doing my deposition first, whatever. We had no problem scheduling things together. We had no problem with any of this. The issue is them playing games, trying to lock us in on a deposition date 3 weeks away from theirs. We didn't initially, when we were scheduling these, we never thought that they would do that. But they try to lock us in on that. And they're playing games. Also, keep in mind, okay, even if all this is true, what they're supposed to be demonstrating right now, in my understanding, is they need to tell the judge not why they skipped the deposition. They need to tell the judge, why did you skip it and not even tell us? Because they didn't even tell the court, why didn't you notice the court? Why didn't you file a protective order? Why didn't you do anything to say that you weren't going to show up at this? And that's what she's supposed to be saying right now. Not that we couldn't agree on dates, but why didn't you tell the court? Defendant refused each of the multiple dates offered. Each of the multiple offered dates for plaintiff's deposition, despite counsel's availability, unilaterally and improperly noticed her deposition for a date he knew she could not attend, and then refused to appear for his own properly noticed deposition unless plaintiff capitulated. So we did agree to tons of dates. We had no problem changing things, but they tried to lock us in on the 6th without telling us that they weren't going to be available for like a month after. And then also, if we noticed the deposition, you didn't like it, why didn't you file a protective order with the court? and then refused to appear for my own. I didn't refuse to appear. We filed a protective order to not appear for mine because you skipped yours. That's what you're responding to. You're stupid. Contrary to defendant's self-serving assertions, he made no effort to accommodate plaintiffs or her counsel's schedules or minimize her costs or burdens. We did. We had no problem doing it later on. But for some reason, they had to do mine on the 6th, and they wouldn't reschedule mine. Or I'd say reschedule. We didn't even 100% lock that in. But it's just stupid games. Plaintiff informed defendant that she was not available in Miami on the unilaterally noticed November 3rd date due to her class schedule at her school in Illinois, and because it would necessitate missing 3 full days of classes due to travel time. Since plaintiff was planning on being in Miami for her school's Thanksgiving break, she offered the dates of November 21st, 24th, or 25th in order to avoid the unnecessary burden of missing her classes and expensive traveling to Miami twice. Also, interesting that plaintiff is apparently broke or poor. Needed to fundraise $50,000 for her court case, but they've easily spent in excess of $100,000 or $150,000 on this court case so far, for sure. But now also has the money and time to move to a whole other state and attend grad school? Where is all this money coming from? What? Okay. But defendant expressly disregarded the inconvenience and effect on plaintiff. Instead, the defendant's only concern and the only reason for this discovery dispute is that one of defendant's 5 attorneys, out-of-state counsel Mr. Brettler, suddenly and disingenuously claimed he would be burdened by having to travel to Miami twice. Moreover, and contrary to defendant's assertion, plaintiff's counsel never represented that they are available to depose defendant on November 24th or 25th, nor are they available since plaintiff's lead counsel, Ms. Peters, has prior commitment issues outside of Florida, and co-counsel Mr. Garcia cannot take the deposition due to health constraints. Okay. Defendant has not and cannot show good cause for his scheduling shenanigans, unilaterally scheduling plaintiff's deposition for an unavailable date and then refusing to appear at his own agreed-to deposition and now insisting that depositions be held consecutively. If you couldn't appear, why didn't you file with the court? Why didn't you file with the court? Also, we agreed we can do any time. We agreed. We had no problem doing other dates. But you guys literally tried to lock us in on the 6th. We had no problem. I'm pretty sure it even shows up in Brettler's emails. The record demonstrates the defendant's purported burden is disingenuous, and even assuming it is not, no authority supports prioritizing the convenience of out-of-state counsel over that of Miami-based parties and local counsel on Miami Forum. Defendant's conduct constitutes discovery abuse, not cooperation. The court should deny defendant's motion. Why didn't they file with the court? If I had to guess, maybe she's getting a little overwhelmed. I think we've pushed a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of stuff that's like stacking up on them. Like there's still multiple people that we haven't gotten to subpoena. We don't have any testimony from Abby, who is their only witness left in this case. For stuff we'll see later on, everything they felt on Rose completely fucking fell apart. And that's a disaster for them now that they have to deal with that we're pushing them on as well. We'll see if that shows up in a court doc. We still have a ton of outstanding discovery. Pixie is too busy goofing off, I guess, in other states or taking Instagram pictures and hasn't turned over still basically anything for discovery. We have basically nothing from them. And then now they're like skipping depositions. They haven't made available. Like it's just everything is like a disaster. It's just, they haven't. Yeah. So my guess is maybe she's starting to get overwhelmed on stuff. I don't know. On September 17th and 19th, plaintiff's counsel requested defendant's available dates for deposition. Defendant's counsel responded on September 22nd the defendant was available the first week of November, and on September 26th confirmed November 6th, 2025 for his deposition. Plaintiff served a formal notice of deposition for that date, which defendant's counsel acknowledged, stating, "We will calendar Mr. Bennell's deposition on November 6th. Yeah, but this was before we knew that they wouldn't be available for a month later. Thus, by September 29th, defendant's deposition date had been mutually agreed, noticed, and declared. Noticed and calendared. It was not until 1 month later, on October 30th, that defendant's counsel first indicated the defendant would not appear and improperly conditioned his appearance on plaintiff's appearance. Again, this is just scheduling depositions. This shouldn't be like a big deal. This shouldn't be that hard. After defendant's deposition was confirmed, his counsel requested dates for plaintiff's deposition in Miami in October. Plaintiff's counsel informed defendant that because she was attending school in Illinois and based on her class schedule, she was not available in Miami in October and instead offered the date of November 21st in Miami. Defendant's counsel, Mr. Brettler, stated he was unavailable November 21st and again insisted on dates in October. Plaintiff, based on her class schedule and requirements governing class attendance, then offered the remote deposition dates of October 24th, November 7th, or 14th, as well as additional in-person dates in Miami on November 24th or 25th. I'm pretty sure initially they said she wasn't available in the entire month of November, but okay. On October 1st, Mr. Brettler rejected all of these dates, again insisting on October dates in Miami. Again, we have no problem doing these dates, but they wouldn't let me move mine. They wouldn't let me move mine. Well, I say move, but we didn't even 100% lock it in. They didn't want to do mine near. They were playing this stupid, weird game. It's so dumb. This is so cringe. All this is so cringe. Plaintiff's counsel, Mr. Garcia, responded Mr. Bartlett was apparently available on November 24th or 25th and explained that plaintiff was not available in Miami other than November 21st, 24th, or 25th due to currently residing in Illinois and because any other in-person dates would necessitate missing 3 full days of classes for 2 days of travel. Okay. Firstly, Jesus. How long does it take you to get to from... There's got to be direct flights from Miami to Chicago. I don't even know all this. Whatever. Also, again, you moved states... Without her wife, by the way, that she tried to marry for a green card. You moved states, okay? Are going to grad school in another state. Where is all this money coming from? I thought you were broke. I don't know why you needed to fundraise for all of this... For this court case. It's cost you 3x the funds you've raised so far, but whatever. Since plaintiff was planning on being in Miami for her school's Thanksgiving break, share for the dates of November 21st, 24th, or 25th, the defendant did not wish to take a deposition remotely in Illinois, and in order to avoid missing her classes and the expense of traveling twice to Miami, Mr. Bartlett expressly dismissed plaintiff's unavailability and inconvenience. Plaintiff was not available due to post in Miami on November 3rd because she had a full day of class scheduled. Then why didn't you register it with the court? That's what this show cause needs to be for. I don't know if either I don't understand this or Joan doesn't understand that. That's fine if you say you can't make it on November 3rd. Why are you saying this now after skipping it? Why didn't you notice the court? Why didn't you file anything with the court? Why not file a protective order beforehand? Furthermore, due to the location of her school, it requires a full day of travel to get to Miami and another full day of travel to return to Illinois. November 3rd is also a Monday, so you would only missed 1 or 2 days of school, but okay. For this reason, and based on her class schedule and requirements, she was not available or able to appear for a deposition in Miami on November 3rd, since it would have necessitated missing 3 full days of classes. Maybe they have Sunday classes? Additionally, traveling to Miami and back from her school is very expensive, with round-trip flights averaging $900. Is that even true? There's no way. You must be able to get flights for less than $500. Round-trip? Maybe less than $400? From Miami to, is it ORD for Chicago? Search flights nonstop. Bro, I'm seeing flights for $193. Come on. $900? What is she flying first class? Plaintiff offered the dates of November 21st, 24th, or 25th, since she would be in Miami on those days, or alternatively 3 remote deposition dates. Again, these dates are fine. Let's just do mine right after or right before. I'm not going to fly my lawyers out twice for this, okay? Defendant's narrative that he must take plaintiff's deposition during the same week as defendant's deposition to avoid unnecessary burden and expense is contradicted by the record. On September 26th, 29th, 30th, and October 1st, after defendant's deposition had been calendared for November 6th, defendant's counsel repeatedly insisted the plaintiff provide dates for her deposition in October, showing no concern then about his unnecessary burden and expense. He also showed no concern for plaintiff's unnecessary burden and expense and having to miss classes and travel to Miami to be deposed in October or on November 3rd in Miami. You sued me in Florida, you dumb idiot. You sued me here. You chose the venue, so you don't get to claim unnecessary burden or expense. This was your venue. So I don't know why the fuck you moved out of state and now you're too lazy to show up for your fucking depots. That's on you. Then on October 2nd, out-of-state counsel, Mr. Bartlett, suddenly expressed a newfound concern with his own burden of having to travel twice to Miami, and for the first time insisted the plaintiff's deposition should be taken during the same week as defendant's. But if cost-saving were genuine, defendant could have deposed plaintiff in Illinois on the proffered date of October 24th, immediately following the October 23rd deposition of a non-party witness in Illinois, attended by 2 of defendant's California's attorneys. I don't even know if we were talking about doing her depo then, and I don't even know if we knew she lived in Illinois then. Maybe you guys should have offered that date. However, Mr. Bartlett had to be in Miami for another matter on November 4th, which is why he offered and agreed to November 6th for defendant's deposition. Rescheduling defendant's deposition so that both depositions would be taken the week of Thanksgiving would not actually minimize any burden or inconvenience, since Mr. Bartlett still had to be in Miami the first week of November, and thus would still be traveling twice to Miami. I don't know what he has scheduled here. I don't know what he has scheduled back in California. Why would you assume just because he's here for another matter, he would be able to just squeeze in a day or two for deposition for a whole other thing? I mean, maybe she's bored. Maybe she has nothing going on in her life or nothing scheduled in her life. I don't know. Thus, defendant's claim of unnecessary burden is plainly disingenuous. Ignoring plaintiff's stated unavailability and burden, on October 3rd, Mr. Bartlett insists the plaintiff appear for a deposition, blah, blah, blah. I think this is just the most cringe shit ever. But she never gives a good reason in any of this, I don't believe, for why she didn't notice the court. On the eve of defendant's November 6th deposition, defendant's counsel announced that defendant will not appear for his deposition on November 6th unless plaintiff appeared on November 3rd, effectively holding his own testimony hostage to coerce compliance with his unjustified demands. Then just notice the court. Files in the court saying you're not going to be there. How can we hold you hostage? Why not file with the court? This is what you do. I say this is what you do, but apparently she fucks half her filings up. So plaintiff's counsel are not available and never represented that they are available on November 24th or 25th to depose defendant. Defendant falsely asserts that plaintiff and her counsel represented the available for evidence deposition on November 24th, 25th. In fact, plaintiff's counsel advised during the October 7th meet and confer, and again by October 10th on email, that they could not depose defendant on either date because plaintiff's counsel were not both available in Miami on those dates, and thus they could not agree to changing defendant's agreed upon deposition. I don't know why you don't need to both be here. I still don't understand how they can do her depo on the 24th, 25th, but not yours on those dates. I have no idea. I don't know what is her argument for that. Ms. Peters has prior commitments outside of Florida, and co-counsel Mr. Garcia, recovering from medical procedures limiting his speech, cannot conduct defendant's deposition, though he can attend to defend plaintiffs with Ms. Peters' remote assistance. Okay, why can't she just remote depose me if that's what you guys want to do? For these reasons, and in good faith, plaintiff's counsel offered those dates only for plaintiff's deposition, not for defense. Okay, because it's you have to speak less when you're just doing objections versus when you're reading to depose somebody, I guess. Cringe. This is all just cringe. That's her cringe thing. Mr. Garcia can't talk much. He had no problem talking during the hearing, but maybe I guess he's had a surgery since then. Declaration of Joan Peters. This is just about emails. This is September 30th. We asked for dates in October for an in-person deposition in Miami. Please provide plaintiff's availability to sit for deposition in person in Miami, Florida in October, or we will unilaterally notice your deposition for a date and time that works for Mr. Bunnell and his counsel. It cannot be that your client is not available for an in-person deposition any days in October, and her only availability in November is the week of Thanksgiving. If that is the case, she will need to make other arrangements in order to comply with the discovery obligations and the lawsuit that she filed. How can you sue me in Florida and say you're not available for 2 months? What are you doing? You don't live here anymore? That's not my problem. You sued me here. This is the venue that you chose. And then this is Garcia, Jane Doe. I am currently pursuing a degree in an out-of-state school. My school is approximately a 2.5 to 3 hour driving distance from the closest airport. Must be nice to have so much money and so much time to not work ever, have no jobs, no income, fundraise a free $50K off my reputation on X, on Twitter, and then go to out-of-state grad law school, whatever she's doing, I guess. Must be nice. Between September 22nd and September 30th, I spoke with my attorney, Carlos A. Garcia Perez, numerous times regarding my available dates to be deposed in this matter. I informed him that based on my current class schedule at my school, and in order not to miss classes, I could only be available for an all-day deposition remotely on October 24th, November 7th, or November 14th. I also told him that based on my class schedule, and in order not to miss classes, I could travel to Miami and be available for my deposition in person on November 21st, 24th, or 25th. Go to page 8 in the main doc and read part 4 of their argument. Wait, what? The federal rules and local rules require cooperation and mutual accommodation, discovery, scheduling, defendant's conduct, unilaterally noticing, and unavailable witnesses. What about it? Did you go over any of the case law they cited in their response? They use a case from the same judge that's overseeing your case. Is it this one here, where Judge Torres rules on this? I didn't. Usually when I look up, I just stopped reading their cases they cited because all of them were just so wrong. Is there a docket for this? Whatever this case is. Oh, here, I guess I can look for the particular filing. No justification. Okay, let's see. Plaintiff's motion to compel defendant's deposition and sanctions. In connection with the same facts that above, plaintiff filed a motion to compel defendant's deposition and sanctions on June 15, 2017. Specifically, plaintiff requests that defendant's deposition be compelled to occur no later than July 1st, and that plaintiff be awarded fees and costs associated with the filing of the motion, all related work, preparation for defendant's deposition. In response, defendant argues that plaintiff has not carried her burden of proof nor met established criteria for either an order compelling defendant's deposition or an award of sanctions. Discussion conflict is completely avoidable. Defendant contends the emails between the parties could not have been clear and that only defense counsel be available on June 13th, or not the defendant. As such, acknowledges that plaintiff has, in bad faith, continued to threaten to unilaterally set the defendant's deposition on dates plaintiff counsel is not available and is scheduled not to be in the United States. Therefore, defendant requests that the court deny plaintiff's motion, find that plaintiff has failed to meet the requirements set forth. Federal rules of appraisal authorizing positions. Okay, so it sounds like they filed a motion to compel. It wasn't just like a scheduling or notice with the court, but this was a motion to compel somebody to show up for a deposition, I guess. Without rehashing all the email communications and forth, we find that defendant was substantially justified in not appearing for the deposition that plaintiff unilaterally said in the case. There is no confusion that defendant was out of the country under June 13, 2017, and that only defense counsel could be present at that date. Nonetheless, plaintiff scheduled defendant's deposition out of frustration and incurred unnecessary costs and fees. Plaintiff's motion lacks any merit because there was absolutely no justification for unilaterally setting defendant's deposition on a date that defendant was obviously unavailable to appear, and plaintiff's conduct was also unwarranted because the discovery deadline in the action is not until June 28th. 2018. Oh, that's like a year away as well. As such, plaintiff's motion is denied. The party's directed work in a professional cooperative manner. Okay. This is a little bit different because Destiny, she was justified in not showing up because they filed this motion. I don't know what you mean. She and they, I don't know what, you're using way too many pronouns. But in this case here, it sounds like somebody filed a motion to compel somebody to show up for a deposition when they clearly weren't available. And the judge is saying, well, we're not going to agree with this motion to compel them to show up here because they're obviously they're not available. However, in our case, they just like didn't even notice the court. They didn't say anything to the court. So I don't feel like this applies here that well. But also, I don't think that none of the cases they cite usually apply that well to anything they're talking about. But they filed a protective order beforehand. That's why she was justified in not showing up. In the other case? Yeah, sure, maybe, yeah. Okay. What did she say? I provided these dates in good faith and in an attempt to facilitate the scheduling of my deposition without undue burden, without jeopardizing my class standing. My school's handbook states a failure to attend classes may result in being dropped from the course, a grade reduction, or failure. I told my counsel that I could not be available for a deposition in Miami on November 3rd because I had a full day of classes scheduled. Furthermore, due to the location of my school, it requires round trip flights to Miami average $900. Based on my class schedule, I plan to be in Miami for a week over the Thanksgiving break, thus to reduce the burden of costs and the burden of disrupting my studies and class attendance. I provided the date of November 21st for my deposition in Miami. When I was told by Mr. Garcia the defense counsel was not available on that day, I then provided the additional dates of November 24th or 25th. Okay, good one. Okay, anyway, that was this stupid meme. I think they still haven't dropped their USB drive off at the court. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. I don't know what's going on with her or what is happening, but okay. Kind of a big meme. We were invited to file a SIR reply to a response that they had, I think, to related to our motion to dismiss, basically. Are there any big dates we are looking at for when things might progress or wrap up? So I think that discovery ends on December 16th, and I'm hoping that we get the motion to dismiss ruling within a week or two after that, hopefully. I think it looks really bad. So the motion to dismiss, remember, has to do with whether or not the court can hear the case. They get to reply to our motion to dismiss. However, they didn't put any new evidence in their court doc. They didn't put any new evidence in their replies or responses that say that the court can't even hear this case. They just keep like doing these weird Kiwi Farms attacks on like my evidence, saying that it's not good enough, but they are offering nothing of their own. And again, we're 6, 7 months, 8 months into this case and they have nothing. So my hope is getting higher on this. I never really thought that, we would win on the motion to dismiss. The idea is motion to dismiss would happen. The judge would probably reject this because on the motion to dismiss, you basically read the whole complaint generally as true, although their subject matter jurisdiction question might be different. But then we would get guidance on that for the motion for summary judgment, which would come, I guess, a few months later. And the motion for summary judgment is where I expect to win. But I'm getting higher hopes in the motion to dismiss since they seem to not be able to have any evidence for anything they're saying, which is nice. But we'll see. And they keep doing dumb shit. So this is our reply relating to their reply relating to the motion to dismiss. Pursuant to the court's paperless order, dated November 5th, 2025, defendant Stephen K. Bonnell II hereby submits the following SIR reply brief in further support of his motion to dismiss, specifically to address the changes that plaintiff's expert witness, Joseph Pena, made to his expert declaration to correct certain errors in the record that he identified. Plaintiff's corrective filings confirms and resolves the central fact precluding subject matter jurisdiction of this case. In his amended declaration, plaintiff's own expert witness now expressly concedes that Bonnell's transmission of the video to Rose occurred on April 9th, 2022, nearly 6 months before the effective date of the Cardi statute and consistent with the testimony of other witnesses in this case. Mr. Pena's admission resolves the only jurisdictional question underpinning plaintiff's federal claim, whether Bonnell sent the video after the effective date of the Cardi statute. He did not, despite plaintiff's continued attempts to obfuscate the straightforward issue before the court. The remainder of Mr. Pena's amended declaration does nothing to change the fact that Bonnell's sole transmission of the video occurred prior to the effective date of the Cardi statute, and his motion to dismiss should be granted accordingly. Section 2, Mr. Pena now confirms that Bonnell's transmission of the video preceded the effective date of Cardi. Mr. Pena's amended declaration eliminates any ambiguity. He now concedes that Bonnell's transmission of the video to Rose via Discord occurred on April 9th, 2022. Mr. Pena's new conclusion is consistent with the substantial evidence in the record, including from the non-party deponent whose ex-boyfriend impersonated her in Discord correspondence he was having with Bonnell while pretending to be Rose, as well as plaintiff's own acknowledgement that she could not conclusively determine that Bonnell's transmission of the video to Rose occurred after October 1st, 2022. So I'm sure this will start to filter out into more motions or things, but they managed to, a member of Dristigl's Discord server harassed the victim's family into being basically deposed by plaintiff's attorneys. And in the process of this deposition of her a few weeks ago, a whole bunch of pretty insane shit came out. And then one of those kind of crazy things that I found out was I have never apparently talked to this person in my entire life. And the it gets more complicated and worse than that, but this account was being ran by I'll say another person for the entirety of this account's existence. The whole story on this is very insane, but I imagine that'll be coming out of more things. I don't know how much I'm technically allowed to talk about since it's a deposition that's not like publicly available, but as well as plaintiff's own, how did you find this out? Because it came out during her deposition. So there were no phone conversations with Rose. I don't think I talked to her. When Pixie initially asked me about this a year and a half ago, I thought I'd had a conversation with her, but when her boyfriend or whoever was on that solo account reached out to me, he said that I'd never talked to her. So maybe I didn't. Maybe I'm mixing a conversation up I had with somebody else, but I guess I never did. It's still possible that I did though, when all the details of this come out, but it's pretty wild. But it's possible there were only text conversations. But where am I at? Pretending to be a browser, well, plaintiff's own acknowledge, but you cannot conclusively determine about this. Okay. I don't know the exact date. The dates were reversed. It's actually blah, blah, blah. This whole like dates reverse thing were fucking, this was like retarded. Moreover, Mr. Pena has also retracted his accusations. His accusation of that Bonnell engaged in evidence spoliation. In paragraphs 7, 17, and 18 of his original declaration, Mr. Pena asserted and concluded that Bonnell's Discord chat export had been tampered with, that Bonnell had deleted or altered messages, and therefore Bonnell's evidence of the April 2022 transmission of the video to Rose is not reliable and would require further discovery. In his amended declaration, Mr. Pena concedes that his initial conclusions were incorrect, and he admits that Discord's time grouping design feature explains the supposed inconsistencies he highlighted in his declaration. Mr. Pena now withdraws his prior claim of evidence tampering and no longer asserts that Mr. Bonnell manipulated the data demonstrating the April 2022 transmission of the video to Rose. Plaintiff herself acknowledges that the paragraphs in her opposition predicated on those now withdrawn statements are no longer supported and should be disregarded by the court. Mr. Pena's amendment corroborates Bonnell's position. Since the outset of this case, the Discord log export reflecting Bonnell's correspondence with Rose is accurate. The message thread with Rose is intact, and Bonnell's transmission of the video occurred in April 2022, preceding the effective date of Cardi by nearly 6 months. Wait, so plaintiff knew about the Rose stuff and they still added the footnote in one of their filings. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff about that, but hey, we'll wait until more comes out. Pretty crazy. Pretty gross. Can you explain why the expert witness would say this stuff? Well, he retracted some of what he said. He just doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't know if... Well, one issue was he was copy-pasting stuff, which we saw verbatim from Kiwi Farms. He even left one of the links on accident there. So we saw that. So I don't know if he just never even did a real analysis or if they just paid an expert witness to copy paste stuff from Kiwi Farms. But so, yeah, I don't know. The guy was an idiot. Rather than submit admissible evidence to conclusively establish subject matter jurisdiction here, which is what they should have done, by the way, plaintiff instead relies on a purported expert's testimony to obfuscate plaintiff's fatal jurisdictional defect. Worse still, Mr. Pena was retained to assess alleged tampering of Discord messages, yet his own core accusation was based on a basic misreading and or misunderstanding of Discord's own interface. Such a fundamental misunderstanding of the platform confirms that no actual forensic analysis was performed. His conclusions were the product of unfamiliarity with the very system in which he claims expertise. To be clear, Mr. Pena's retraction confirms that no tampering or fabrication occurred and exposes the unreliability of the very opinions upon which plaintiff relies. Even now, Mr. Pena only speculates that Bonnell's evidence is unreliable unless digitally fingerprinted, but he identifies no actual alteration, loss, or destruction of data. Instead, Mr. Pena relies entirely on a negative inference that the absence of a cryptographic hash somehow renders the production unreliable. Such speculation is not a forensic finding, but a rhetorical attempt to manufacture ambiguity where none exists. The date on which Mr. Bonnell transmitted the video is the dispositive question. It is easily resolved from the face of the Discord chat log, the evidence in the record, as well as by plaintiff's own expert's admission. No specialized computer forensics knowledge is required to read a date stamp. Plaintiff's continuing effort to reframe the transmission of the video on Discord as a complex, continuous disclosure is nothing more than an attempt to obscure the record and preserve a theory that her own expert cannot substantiate. Conclusion, for the reasons stated herein and in Bonnell's moving papers, Bonnell respectfully requests the court to grant the motion dismissed for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. That's where we're at now. Did they get a reply to this or reply to that? I'm not really sure. No clue. Will that deposition ever be made public? I have no clue. I don't know how that works. I guess we'll find out. ETN, the next big memes. Probably within the next couple weeks, I think. Did your lawyers depose her too, or just plaintiff? Mine asked a few questions, but I can't really speak with any specificity. But it was just rough. That was just not a good. Pixie's. Let me just say, Pixie's a demon. That's all I'm gonna say. Yeah, I'm gonna say that much. Okay, I think probably within 2 weeks we'll see some memes. Would you accept a Willie Mac interview? I'm probably not just going to do any interviews on this shit. I'll just say my final piece when everything's done. Because fuck all this shit. But also, just like as a quick thing, and my tongue is a little tight. I can't, like I said, I don't think I can talk much about this. But like, if you could think for like 2 seconds, if you use your brain a little bit, especially if you get away from like the weirdo shit online, you just think about like the facts of the case and like how everything worked out. It requires at the very least one like insanely crazy, disgusting criminal international individual. But it's just funny to me that it's not funny. It's actually really fucked up and really sad. Because of the obsession with like outing me on everything, there's been a person who's been completely and totally skipped. And there's also been like a victim who has been relentlessly harassed. And a lot of that harassment has come from Gesticle's server. And they'll even admit it. I don't know who, they just see this person talk about me a lot. This person is like talking about, I don't think that this girl or whatever was involved, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, what makes you sure if they were involved? And I've spoken to her. Lots of people from Gesticle's server reached out and harassed the victim, harassed her family, harassed people around them. This has been like an ongoing thing from that community. So, and then all of it is basically happening behind the curtain of Pixie's court case because she's still obsessively dragging this out when they know they have nothing and no case. And every day that she drags it out is another day that she's providing cover for like a truly unbelievably insane individual. But I guess we just have to wait until this ends. Yeah. How much longer could they drag it out if they exhaust every possible avenue? I mean, if they got lucky on their motion for summary judgment and they survived that, then trial would be June of next year, right? Isn't it like June 16th of next year? You spoke about meetings with New York law firms. Are you planning on going after anyone? I can't do that until this case is over. Like, this case is costing me so much money, and I can't risk. There are strategic and legal reasons why I can't do both as well at the same time, but the one of them is money related and psychological bandwidth related. But you know who the criminal catfisher is? I don't think you should refer to this person as a catfisher. That's one of the things that they did, but it's not even close to the worst thing that they did. Not even remotely close to the worst thing that they did. The most satisfying takeaway from all of this is how red in the face the Ryle dude at all must feel after having grilled countless DGGers on how saying, hey, I'm probably going to wait until the case wraps up and all the facts are on the table. No, because the goalpost always shifts. The current COPE goalpost on half the people is that I'm still going to get like arrested for child porn or some crazy shit. But then the other half is that like, well, actually every single time, like wasting Destiny's time or money is actually based. So even if nothing else comes from it, this is okay. It's totally based. Initially it was going to be, I was going to go to federal prison and get raped my whole life. And that was going to be the base thing. But now the base thing is just like, oh, well, if you waste this money, then that's great anyway. So, you know, they say that Rose has to say she wasn't the one posting. The person who is identified as Rose or whatever has not been in control of any of the accounts that anybody knows about ever. That whole story is insane and crazy, but I can't get into any more details. That whole story is insanely disgusting and crazy. But we have to wait for more stuff to get filed. So, yeah. has never been control ever, as in while it was with you, or ever, 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 ever. I know you can't answer, but is that why the feds were talking with you, with the memes you said about? No, the feds only ever come to my place over, like, death threats and shit. Can you speak about the phone call that you allegedly had with a person named Rose? I don't know if I had a call with this person or not. When I first talked to Pixie, I hadn't talked to this person in over a year, I think, or 2 years. My recollection was I think I had a call with her when I was at an airport a while ago, but it might have been with another person. But that I thought I did. I know that they've offered to call me, and I know that they've offered to call them, but I might have been with another person. Or actually, it might have been with them, too. I don't 100% remember. It's been a long time. Also, Solo initially said he told me that I'd never talk to this person, but then he posted on Kiwi Farms that he had a recording of me talking to this person, so I'm not sure. If I think hard, I don't know, because I reread all of our logs, and I don't think I actually had a call with them, so I might have just misremembered that, but okay. Unrelated, but this is how Tom Bilyeu speaks. Stop. Why would he not publish that call if he had it? This guy doesn't want anything published about the actual person involved. There's a very particular reason why. Yeah. People post the images of her in your merch to discredit the idea that she had no idea. Is that explainable? The actual story is just so crazy and disgusting. Let me just say that the person that was running this account put in a huge amount of effort into mind-fucking me. Let me just... And the other person involved. Yeah. That's all I can... Yeah. Fuck. Ask me in a few weeks. We'll see what else shows up in court filings. But, yeah. It's pretty wacky. That's a Juice Stalker point. I will say this, just because so many people have posted it, and I think it's very funny, because I've seen a lot of people posting that, like, oh, how could you possibly have pictures of merch? It must be a real person, or they must be talking to him. That's really seems like it, huh? That's, you know, I kind of thought the same thing. It's pretty, yeah, that's absolutely true. So I like that people are posting that as evidence of me absolutely lying or fucking my lies or my story up, because I think it goes to show how fucking insanely weird the actual story is. But hey, you know, okay, that's all I got for now. All right, moving on to the next thing. Oh wait, hold on, one quick meme thing, because everybody in Gistical server who said they didn't want to cover my stuff anymore because it's too boring, I keep seeing this cope over and over again. The funny thing is, even if it was a catfish, what would change? Like, it's such a weird lie. Oh, they also assume I'm all lying about this too. Imagine a predator that gets catched by Chris Hansen would be like, well, I'm not a real predator, I just talked with a person that pretended to be a minor. So I don't know if you've ever watched To Catch a Predator, but in To Catch a Predator, that's adults pretending to be kids. It's not kids pretending to be adults. Like, To Catch a Predator wouldn't really make any sense if Chris Hansen was like, well, here, you said you're 20 years old, I'm gonna come over and fuck you. But like, did you, like, it's this, I don't know, I think it's just because Gistical, like, okayed this weird talking point that, like, this whole server sycophantically runs with it, but Chris Hansen did not have people pretending to be adults to catch predators. It was people pretending to be minors. I don't know why, I don't know how nobody in the, well, it's because they're all so obsessed with hating me that they can't, like, form any independent thoughts that, yeah, I don't know.